A locavore is a person who chooses to consume food that is grown, raised, or produced locally. This is the Locavore Podcast, brought to you by White's IGA.
Welcome to my Locavores Podcast. I'm Roz White, and this is a podcast where we dig deep into the stories behind the hundreds of locally sourced, artisan, bespoke, and innovative products available to you in one location at White's IGA on the Sunshine Coast. Our Locavore program was officially launched in 2013 to showcase and highlight to our customers where their food and goodies come from and help connect them to the families who create it. Alejandro Cancino is an award-winning chef. While working in a three-hatted restaurant in Brisbane, Alex, if I may call him, was inspired to develop a quality plant-based meat alternative to feel good about eating without compromising on taste or texture. With the scratching of an idea that began in 2015, developed in 2016, and after months of extensive research and development, Alex and his wife Paolo proudly launched in 2018, fueled by a dream to create planet-conscious, ethically sourced, affordable and delicious plant-based foods. From the innovative inception of Veef in 2018, producing just 20 kilograms a week, the company has grown to distribute 17 tons of this delicious meat alternative each week. Wow. Rooted in humble beginnings, this small Sunshine Coast-based Australian business with a big heart aims to revolutionise the way we look at protein, one plant-based meal at a time. Welcome, Alejandro. So lovely to see you.
Thank you very much for having me on the post.
And I hope you don't mind me calling you Alex.
No, please.
What do most people call you?
I actually have a nickname, and my family and very close friends call me Tati.
Daddy. 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 Where does
Tati,
that
come from? Tati, from T-A-T-Y. Just from, my mom used to call me Tati.
Beautiful. Would you prefer me to call you Daddy?
Alex is fine.
I'll call you Alex. You were born in Argentina. Fascinating. And at the tender age of 15... you knew you wanted to live on the Sunshine Coast. To me, that is just extraordinary. And you shared that with me when we met another time. You know, we've known each other now for quite a number of years. And I just found that extraordinary that a 15-year-old in Argentina would pinpoint this magnificent, beautiful region of ours and go, I'm going to live there one day. And not only that, you're changing the world. So I want to know more about that.
Yeah, I've been always since very early age a bit of a dreamer. And this was a very good exercise that I had in high school where they asked us to write our own CV at that time when I was 15. And then 10 years and 20 years from then. So at 25 and 35. And I remember at the time there was this newspaper highlighting the best places to live in the world. There was Canada and Australia as the best two spots. And because I love the sun, kind of in my head I thought I would most likely live in Australia. And within Australia, I remember reading, at the time there was no internet, so or not that much access as we have now. And remember pinpointing Noosa, actually.
Wow.
You know, 25 years later, here I am.
Yeah. So what year did you arrive in Australia?
2012. Yes.
With your beautiful wife, Paola.
Yes.
And you have a six-year-old child?
Yes, Lola.
Lola. Yeah. Beautiful.
Australian. And
she's born Australian. And yeah, that's right. So do you go back to Argentina very often?
I actually go every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I left home when I was 18.
Yeah. And Paolo's family there too? Or?
Yes.
Yeah. And how does Lola go? Does she sort of...
She loves it.
Yeah.
Having the two very different, places to call home. And visit the family back in Argentina. And here, obviously, she's an Australian. So, we want her to have the Argentinian, she speaks Spanish, and we want her to feel like an Argentinian too.
Yeah, of course. So your family, how did you grow up as a child, and what was?
So basically, I born in Buenos Aires. Mom and dad split when I was very little, so I don't even remember. I always, had just my mom. Single mom, she's, was very hard for her. I imagine having three kids. We grew up in just outside Buenos Aires. So I think one of the reasons why today I'm such a good father, I think, at least, is because I didn't have a very present dad. And it's funny how, things that probably impact you when you were very little, could be a source of inspiration.
Yes.
And you take a negative and, really move into a positive. And I think that was a little bit of my childhood. And I'm super grateful, of having, I always say that we probably were not, as a single mom, she was kind of struggling economically. But when I was little, we had some Christmas that probably she was like, kids, this Christmas, there is no presents. But I always felt, and I still believe it's 100% true, that I was rich, and I still feel today, I had the most important thing that someone can have, which is love and affection. And she always made me feel, super special. And beautiful. That, helped me, through my life and career.
I think it's sustains you in life, doesn't it? Having that support and love around you. Yeah. So speaking of being inspired, you're probably one of the biggest, maybe, plant-based meat alternative producers in Australia, which I think as Australians we should all be very proud of. And you're very, it's very important to you to create an alternative for many, many reasons, which we can talk about. But what inspired you to take this step into this industry and the production of this product? I know you're an award-winning chef, so that would be obviously there's a link there somewhere. So tell us how, what inspired you to go on this journey and create this amazing product?
There was a combination of things, The first one was I knew we were waiting for, we got pregnant. Yeah. And the first thing I thought, being a chef working an average of 12 to 16 hours over the last 15 years, I thought, I don't want to repeat the cycle. I want to be a present dad. I want to, be there for my daughter. So the first thing I thought is I need to exit the industry.
Yeah.
I was at, we had three chef hats at the time in the restaurant. We were, had a profitable business. So I was in a very good spot, but I realized that was not what I wanted to do moving forward once I had a kid. Mm. And then I always had a bit of an entrepreneur mindset. Mm. And I wanted to do something that when I look back in 20 years, I will be proud. So I kind of became a vegetarian and I realized there was not that many products on the market. So decent ones, especially made in Australia. So I started doing some research. I flew to America. I tried all the products there. And when I came back, I thought, I think I can do this, you know. Thanks, Mom, for giving me confidence.
Well, I find that really interesting that, you know, you spoke about the importance to you and how in your mind being rich is having that love and affection, and you wanted to be a better dad because your dad was missing from your life as a child. So that is the very thing that inspired you and ignited this idea and set you on this path of creating. It actually come from within your heart.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when someone starts a business, having the why so deep inside helps a lot, because there are times where you think, why am I, you know, why going through this? You know, for anyone, you know, who's got a business, you all know, if you went through COVID, you know, hard times, there is something that you have to wake up every day and really believe on what you're doing. And there are times where it's really hard. You know, I remember through COVID, our business was mainly focused on wholesale to restaurants. And we went from $200,000 on revenue in December. We moved to a bigger facility, and in April we were turning over 20 grand wow. a month. So I remember waking up through the night sometimes and looking at, you know, my wife and my daughter and thinking, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, like, it was super hard. And so obviously as a chef, you know, I've been always good to handle stress, and the good thing I've been always very proud being a chef was that I never passed that stress. I've never been a Gordon Ramsay kind of chef. I always been very calm and
did you say Gordon Ramsay chef?
Yeah. So I don't swear. You know, I really think if you get to that point, it's because you didn't handle your emotions properly, or you didn't find a better way. So if anything, when you lose it, it's kind of your fault, right? So to keep calm and focused, and you know, that's where I would like to be. You know, I don't always get there. You know,
but you seem pretty calm to me.
Yeah, and I think calm, you know, in my opinion, calmness is happiness. Mm. So happiness, sometimes, you know, people think about happiness, about, you know, like this spike of, you know, excitement. I think being calm is the greatest way of happiness. Mm. Yeah.
Or content.
Content, yeah.
Yeah, and just feeling at ease and at peace with yourself more than anything, isn't it? You know, that you've done everything you can within your control to be a good person or to create an impact. So Veef was the name of the initial product. And obviously it's good for vegetarians and vegan as well,
yes.
Plant-based. I have tasted your little burger patties and they are absolutely delicious. So you certainly don't compromise on taste or texture. And it really is a beautiful, beautiful product. But that's just one of them. I know you have a broad range of products. But let's start with that. That 20 kgs that you were producing probably in a very small environment. And I think you were producing it for your friends in the beginning, weren't you? So, like, this is how... This is just a complete startup at the micro level where you've gone home, you started to put some ingredients together in a bowl. I don't even know where you start, but tell us about that time. And, you know, we'll talk about the growth because it is absolutely inspiring. But just those early days of putting together your first little burger patty and going, that tastes pretty good.
Yeah. Look, I remember coming back from America on the research and development trip. And we actually started doing vegan cheeses. And then it got to a point where one of our customers asked why don't you get into plant-based meats? And she was actually the person who planted the seed and became for me very obvious that the demand for plant-based meats were bigger and I would have more of an impact than all the plant-based cheese products that we were selling. Remember she said, look, start. Even if you are not ready, we will support you on all the prototypes. So some of the products we released, you know, were not, let's say, 100%. But she was very supportive, and we started doing those 20 kilos to one restaurant only, Brewski Bar in Brisbane. Always grateful for the people that support you on the way.
Of course.
Then we open up to other customers, and all of a sudden we went from producing in a kitchen once a week to twice a week, then taking more of the rented freezer space to a point where we were producing 400 kilos a week, and the person who were, was renting us the kitchen came to me and said, I think it's time for you to move. You know, you had to look for a bigger
premises.
So, yeah, that's when we came to the Sunshine Coast.
So 2015, it was probably fairly early days for, you know, people to start. Because people that are choosing to be a vegan and eat vegan, there was a massive shift that happened, but it was after 2015. I think it was probably a couple of years after that, and then it started to go, you know, there was a big transition around the world, and Australia was one of the fastest growing continents that was embracing plant-based foods in and Asia and America. And of course, me being a grocer, it was obviously that was on my radar too, which is how we came to meet. And excuse the pun, didn't mean that. And you walked, I think you were, it was one of your distributors or your agents or whatever came and saw us and had a packet of beef and we cooked it up, and that was the time when I was just going, oh my goodness, this is absolutely fabulous. We have to get this onto our shelves. And I think we sold it as a frozen line to start with, and I think it's probably still, that's where you find it, isn't it, in the freezer. And then, so you set up a plant in Kunda Park, which is where you are now, which is on the Sunshine Coast, and you're producing or you're distributing 17 tonnes a week. That's a pretty big, pretty big increase. But there was also a merger. So you were, went from Veef, and then you actually merged with another big company called Love Buds, and then now you're known as Aussie Plant-Based Co. And so that was a big leap, wasn't it? I remember when we met and had a coffee at the cafe and you were telling me, this is my plan, this is what I want to do, and then next minute, here you are, you've done it, and you just continue to rise. It's just incredible. So how is, you tell us through that merger project and why that was important and what that means for the product and your growth from there. So the expansion of your product range, you know, what you now have on offer and where people can buy it.
So the merch, I think that's been a really good experience. In October last year, we merged after a few months of due diligence and all what is involved in a merch. We were lucky because if I had to choose from the companies that were, from all the competitors that were on the market, I think Love Buds was one of my favorites. And we came together, both teams, very passionate and driven and really wanted to make this a success. It's been a good learning experience, obviously, a lot of work, but I think we now established as the number one in the country, in the space. Aussie Plant-Based, the whole point was to keep on growing and growing the range, growing the categories, and we do see Aussie Plant-Based as a conglomerate of companies growing into bigger portfolios and eventually going overseas.
Mm.
In terms of distribution, obviously, the first beef was mainly doing retail.
Mm.
We had some presence in food service. Lovebuds had better presence in food service. So we decided to keep the two brands, Lovebuds being our food service brand, which you can find in Betty's Burgers, TJ Fridays, and many more venues. And Beef being our retail brand, we are in IGAs, Woolworths, Coles. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so most supermarkets across Australia. Yeah, so that's just extraordinary. I know there's some, you know, you're very planet conscious. So, and your product is very planet conscious, ethically sourced. That is deeply rooted in your inspiration to create this alternative, obviously to cater to a market where people also choose that and preference that in their diet as to reflect their own consciousness about looking after our beautiful planet. So tell us a little bit more about why it's, you know, good for the planet, good for the environment, and I understand it's a carbon neutral product.
Yeah, so one of the pillars of the company was sustainability. So to basically produce 1 kilo of our products, it takes less water, less energy, less resources than producing a kilo of beef. So the whole idea was, okay, we got this far, it's already a more sustainable product. What if we take it one step further and offset any emissions that we produce by obviously having to fry the product to use all the other ingredients? So I think that was from the very beginning was something that I wanted to do personally. And again, this is when your why is so important and difficult times or challenges comes your way, you can keep going because you know what you're doing is right.
And where do you source the raw product from mostly and bring it into the Sunshine Coast to produce the product range?
So we do have some products coming from Australia, but some of the ingredients are very specific and there is no local production. So we do bring some products from Europe, from America, some from China too. So, yeah.
And you spoke before about one of your biggest challenges was when you went from $200,000 revenue to $20,000 because of COVID. How did you pivot out of that and still survive, get through that and continue upwards?
Yeah, look, that was probably a good life lesson. The first thing I for me was to be transparent.
Mm.
So I had to reach out to the team, first of all, saying, look, we didn't make anyone redundant, but we had to reduce their days to probably 1 day a week, which was the 1 day that we produced, and we kept on going and doing something. Then the landlord, you know, I had good discussion. The government helped us a lot. And then suppliers and customers. Suppliers were really good too. You know, I had to reach out to some of our suppliers saying, look, I'm not going to be able to pay you. I need more product and most likely, you know, it's going to take me 3 more months to be able to pay. But I think when you are transparent and you explain the plan and how you're going to solve it, people, you know, tend to believe. It's been really hard, I'm not gonna lie, you know. I have a few scars from that.
Yeah.
But again, waking up every morning and seeing the family and then going to the factory, seeing the team, what else can I do? Keep going, you know. Yeah. And think a way to get us out of that.
And how many people do you employ on the Sunshine Coast in the factory?
Yeah, we got a total of 45 people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So where to from here? I know you've got your world on the global, your eyeballs on the global stage. Tell us about any exciting plans, if you can, ahead.
Look, the whole idea is to make Aussie plant-based the number one in Asia-Pacific initially. And we will do it by extending our portfolio, potentially do a few more roll-ups, growing organically and potentially through M&As. And where do I see the, you know, where I would like to get, I think, is getting as efficient and getting enough volume so we can really have efficiency similar to the meat industry. So we are not aiming for vegetarians and vegans to purchase our products. Our aim is to get the mainstream public to have once or twice or three times a week our product instead of traditional meats. And once that happens, you know, the volumes through the factory will be enough to reduce, to be more efficient and reduce our cost and really be a as good product, potentially cheaper and with less impact on the planet.
Yeah, and I guess it's really interesting. It's about people having a choice. It's like non-alcoholic beverages, isn't it? You know, it doesn't mean to say people are teetotalers, that they're maybe just choosing an alternative for one or two nights a week to be live a healthier lifestyle or whatever. So I suppose being meat-free is also a similar sort of approach to how people want to introduce what they may regard as healthier for their diet. You know, so I suppose there's probably health benefits to eating less meat. It doesn't mean to say that you have to be completely a vegan or a vegetarian. You don't have to cut meat out of your diet. But choosing an alternative that is potentially a healthier, more planet-conscious choice.
Yeah, 100%. For, let's say, a person on their 50s, 60s that, you know, goes to the doctor and gets told you have to reduce your meat intake because your cholesterol is very high, then you can swap having that burger that you normally had on a Saturday, just swapping it for a plant-based burger. The flavor and the texture will be there, but not without the cholesterol in it. Yeah.
So what's unique about your products and what's your favorite, if you're allowed to have one?
Look, I do love them all, but I really like the chicken nuggets.
You have it with sweet and sour sauce?
on every birthday party that my daughter had, we put our nuggets on for all the kids, and they love it. In fact, it's funny, some of the kids that obviously they are not all vegetarians, but the ones that are non-vegetarians get back to their parents and say, can we have those nuggets we had on Lola's party? You know,
so do you call them chicken nuggets? Like, what should somebody look for? If they're looking for them in
plant-based chicken nuggets. Yeah.
In the frozen.
In the frozen aisle, yeah. And in terms of what is special, I think the way we produce all our products is less scientific or lab focused or approached. That's why our list of ingredients is probably the shortest of all. It's more from a culinary and organoleptic point of view that we approach all the products. We, for example, instead of saying all our products are going to be made with soy or mushroom, or we identify which protein will give us the best result for a chicken product or for a beef product, and then that's how we kind of the development process starts.
Mm. What's your best seller?
The beef burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, they are pretty good.
Yeah.
And do you get surprised, you know, or continue to be surprised at people's response to their flavour and texture? Because they really are, they've got that, even that smoky sort of delicious flavour about them.
Yeah, the problem we had in the industry is it was very hot and we had so many brands up there. So people who tried some of the not so good, you know, products that launched in the past, they probably been burned and they think, oh, no, I really don't like this plant-based fake meat. So I think you had to give it a chance. And especially if you cook it, you know, within a meal, you won't even tell. Mm. And that for me is a, you know, it's a tick.
Yeah.
People keep giving us very good feedback. When we do trade shows, the feedback is amazing.
Yeah. So, change of pace. A personal mantra or a personal quote, something that's inspired you that you live your life by. Do you have something that represents you and who you are as a person?
Well, I got so many, and I'm a routine, a very a person of routines. I do have stickers all over my house, even at work, but I even tattoo them so I don't forget. So the one that is printed on me is "Die with memories, not dreams." Mm. So just go for it.
Wow.
And as I say, I'm you know, I think I'm a good combination of a dreamer and a doer. So yeah, just go for it.
Love that. Die with memories, not dreams. I wonder how many people could say that, you know, that they've done that, that they've lived and lived out their dreams. That's absolutely brilliant. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure we could sit and chat for another hour or two or more. But thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time and thanks for telling us all about your beautiful story.
Thank you for your support and thank you for having me here.
Cheers.
A locavore is a person who chooses to consume food that is grown, raised, or produced locally. This is the Locavore Podcast, brought to you by White's IGA.